This week on the PhD cast, we're talking Qantas and Taylor Swift. In the wake of Qantas's big new brand ad, we discuss the merits of the big corporate emotional brand piece versus the smaller content social-led plays. What is the best advertising model and what is right for brands in different situations? Plus, in the wake of Taylor Swift's withdrawal from Spotify, we debate and discuss the merits of music, distribution platforms and the role of brands in the music industry. This is the PhD cast from PhD Australia.
There's a good chance I'm not going to say anything. I just want to be clear on that.
Okay, well, that's what you introduce you.
What?
So no, that people know you're here.
So you're just going to look mute. It's up to you. Your choice.
Can I move that?
Besides
which,
besides
which, it's already a disaster, doesn't it?
Besides which, we're already live, so we've got the end of the John Farnham section on tape, which is all good. Hey, I'm Chris Stevenson. Joining me on the PhD cast this week, PhD cast regulars Lauren Oldham.
Hey.
And Jess Young.
Hi.
And EK.
Hello.
And Christian.
Hello.
A regular already, EK. Joining us for the first time, it's only PhD's business director, Alice Pacey.
All right. Woo!
How are you doing, Alex? Are you excited to be here?
Terrified/embarrassed.
Don't be terrified, nor embarrassed. We're talking national institutions, advertising models, and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well, I can't. A bit of Taylor Swift I'm all right with.
It's going to be a big week.
Yep.
Let's get going. Sunday saw Qantas launch the latest big advertising campaign for the brand. A two-minute commercial launched last Sunday depicts the emotional reunion of five passengers with loved ones in Australia. Research revealed that Australians see the red tail of Qantas and it reminds them of home. The ad is about the pull of home, the love of family and friends, and how Qantas makes that happen both across Australia and around the globe. Set the musical backdrop of Randy Newman's song Feels Like Home, this time sung by 20-year-old Australian Martha Marlow. It's the second high-profile brand following on from the home anthem of last year. We've all seen the ad. What do we make of it, first of all?
It's very emotional.
Yeah, I love it. I think it was really, really awesome. I prefer it to the John Lewis commercial.
Oh,
wow. That's a big statement. Controversial already.
For me, it's all about the song. I don't know, I just love it.
Yeah.
That song was very emotive. And
the biggest mistake they made was getting Silverchair to revamp the song, I think. That's when everything started to go downhill for Qantas.
And if anyone's not aware, Silverchair. Revamped
so
what?
The song.
Silverchair is one of the Chronicles of Narnia. Yes. That's totally different.
But that's not the song in the...
Yeah, but when they did that, that's what I think things started to go downhill, when they took away their original, like, emotional song.
Yeah, because I go back to the Qantas ads with the kids in white and all of that and making the logo and these big ads.
I feel this is a little bit controversial, but I feel like... I hope no one from Qantas is listening, but it might be a little bit of a rip-off of... What was that campaign with the Christmas presents and all of that in the airport? What was that?
It was an American airline that did the whole give people presents at Christmas. Was it Canadian? Was it getting worse all the time?
It was very, like, airports and travel and emotion and family. And
but that goes back to Love, actually. I mean, Richard Curtis did that.
Yeah.
This is what airports are. Airports are about home and family and travelling. Airports are emotional places. I'm always emotional in airports.
And I actually quite like the insight that they are using as well. And I guess they've done a whole lot of research into the fact that people associate Qantas with, like, almost basically national pride and like the sense of home, like, comes to surface as well. And I think it's an interesting time in, like, making a statement of, yes, it's airports now, not only emotional, but actually they are also, this brand particularly is also about Australia and also about Australian people.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, as I said to you yesterday, Aussies love hearing about how awesome Australia is, and this ad, like, really delivers on that. But I think the thing it delivers to me is, like, no matter where you go, you always want to come back home, obviously, and I watched it twice through, and I've not watched an ad in 10 years. I shouldn't say that. I haven't watched an ad in 10 years, but I haven't. I thought it delivered fantastically on that. So, yeah, I was impressed with it.
I was totally impressed. And I think just on the value of it, when we're always talking about the model, whether it is, whether actually TVCs and big bold brand statements like this, like from Qantas, or in case of John Lewis, or just lately I've heard about like Sainsbury's as well. I haven't yet seen the ad, but I'm really curious of it.
If anyone is worried, don't worry, we will do the Christmas special edition of the PhD cast where we will deconstruct the John Lewis ads and more precise. So don't worry, the Christmas special will happen.
It is coming, same people. So I do think that in terms of the balls for columns, it amazingly delivers on, in this case, it actually might be around reinforcing the fact that this is a really famous Australian brand that's about like connecting people. And I think it still does make a statement.
And the ad, and it was certainly the conversation around the ad is focused on whether this is the right thing to do for Qantas, given all the turmoil the company's seen in the last 12 to 18 months. There's been some redundancies, there's been some restructuring. Mm-hmm. The airline industry per se is one that has been commoditized and is struggling with margins at the moment with the rising cost of fuel. So turbulent times, no pun intended, for Qantas. And Is this the right time to launch a big ad like this? They say it's for passengers as well as staff. It's doing a morale job for staff as well. Is this the worst time or is this the best time to be launching this?
I mean, from a crisis point of view, I think it's the right time now. I think in the perspective of, you know, with a brand in crisis and sentiment, if they'd done it, you know, at the time when there was, you know, 50 people or however many people being made redundant, I get that it would be rude. But, I mean, if other brands that do far, far more sort of shocking things to staff are allowed to have big ads and advertising budgets, I don't think there's a reason why, just because the industry is under fire or having a shake-up with technology and the way in which this business works in modern times, there's no reason why they shouldn't be allowed to do an emotional ad as well as other people. And I think actually now, that's where they sort of did go awry, when they stopped sort of focusing their core business being around Australians and connecting people back home and that journey for their staff. So I actually think it is a good call to action to bring them back where really they belong. And, you know, from this point in time, you can see how well they do. The customers will decide how well they do in actually maintaining that. But I think it's a good place to start.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still get emotional when I hear "I still call Australia home."
Oh yeah, like that was amazing.
Their version of that.
That's the best.
Literally, I was.
Imagine being at Singapore Airport halfway home.
Yeah. They've got an absolute right to own this emotional territory, right?
Mm. Well, they need to.
Yes, I think though that that's probably not enough to turn the business around. For me, I used to be a very loyal Qantas flyer, but when they brought in new planes with smaller like seat room and me not being very tall, and my knees are hitting the front of the seat, I think that's unacceptable, and I've actually stopped flying them. I actually fly home now, to my home, on a different international carrier, because they actually provide at least basic economy room.
Right, and that's so, the argument made by, and you referenced it, the argument made by Paul Nelson on the pages of Mumbrella. He's the marketing director of Brand Matters. And he says that an ad is nice and great, but it takes more. And he points to rebuilding trust, reconnecting with employees, and as you said, repairing the customer experience as fundamental things you've got to do and Qantas have to do, and makes sure that advertising can't be a sticking plaster for those things.
But I do think, like, so one thing at a time, right? So I'm pretty sure that in the background there's already a lot of things going on, but you just can't get the moon in a stick and you just can't talk about everything.
Speak for yourself, Casey.
Talk about everything in one piece of content, but also when just reading around the content itself, it seemed that they still have actually a lot in the pipeline around the sentiment and how they're going to be playing that out across the next half year. I think hopefully those are going to be the ones that are ticking the other boxes as well. At the same time, obviously, from a brand's perspective, from an internal perspective, you need to get a couple of things right. You need to get your service right. You need to get your staff satisfied, and probably also like include society in it. So probably even like give back to Australia a little bit. So
I'd be very surprised, though, as you say, if that's not part of it kicking off from here, from the brand sentiment. Like, I mean, I think the TBC, though, to connect with a larger bunch of people and say we're back and we're actually reconnecting with ourselves. But the other thing, too, is I think, I mean, when you read through some of the stuff on the Mumbrella article, not to take away from it, but is there any TBC ad that does not get the same reaction, that it's basically not enough and it's not digital? And I mean, I'm obviously in social media, so I completely understand. But I just felt with this, it's a bit like, it's a bit rich, because it's like, of course it's not digital, but we don't know yet that it won't be hugely popular with sentiment. That's something that people reading it are going to decide. And I just think it sort of seems like one of those things that people always say in relation to a TBC, that it's not going to work, but it could.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they use it in different forms of media.
So in the article they say
that they have like different cuts they can use for cinema, digital, press, social, and out of home. So it'll be,
I'm sure they'll take what they do with it and elsewhere.
Look, I think at the end of the day, Paul Nelson's the MD of Brand Matters, and he's trying to sell a product. I don't think anyone thinks that this ad is going to solve all of Qantas' problems, but I think it's the only thing they could have done is to try and connect with people on an emotional level. Running an airline, probably the hardest job in the world. Everyone wants everything for nothing. They can get choice wherever they want it, and they're not willing to pay for it. They want awesome customer service. They want the same amount of legroom as they used to have, and they're not willing to pay for it. So you cannot connect with all those things in a TV ad. Maybe they've got something in the pipeline, but by the time they come back with that, there'll be some other issue with Qantas, no doubt. I think the flip side of being a massive national brand like Qantas is that you're also a target. And so I think, you know, all these flagship airlines, I don't think any of them make any money. I think I feel sorry for all of them, frankly.
And from the perspective of the media mix and what they're doing, this week also saw Qantas partner with Sound Alliance launch what they call a mobile first and essentially content youth travel site, which is all about inspiring 18-year-olds to travel, called AWOL. AWOL will cover daily travel news, provide readers with futures, destination guides, and the site is aiming to publish more than 1,500 pieces of content each year on music, travel, and experience. So in the same week that we got this big ad, we also got a very interesting mobile content-led site, which is about getting young Australians to go and travel. And Qantas playing an active role in that kind of conversation and role against 18-year-olds. Is this a healthy thing for Qantas to be having this diversity of comms in the mix?
Personally, I think absolutely it is. They've got massive amounts of segment diversity, as other businesses do. I think the question becomes whether, I guess what's being asked here is whether these two things are working together or whether they're siloed. My perspective is fundamentally with a business the size of Qantas, I think people assume that these businesses think as one, and we know even from our own business that isn't the case. They're going to have people that are brand focused on youth.
Other than us
at PhD who are amazing. I think they're going to have youth focused people. I think they're going to have, you know, broader age target focused people. And also you've got the other side of things, which is this might not have been their idea. This could have been the Sound Alliance, who are fantastic at this kind of thing, going to them with an idea. So I don't think that can be discounted either. Whether it'll work or not, I don't know. I think one of the commenters made the point that there is a lot of material in this area for the young. And the idea
for
that...
For the young?
For the young, yes, of which I'm not one. And whether the youth have to be encouraged to travel, I don't think they do. And do people like Lonely Planet do this better, potentially?
No way.
Other than the fact that when you go somewhere and rely on a Lonely Planet, it's never correct. But that's another...
That's another PhD.
I like to carry a Lonely Planet.
That means you're over 25.
I have it in my head.
26. Yeah, I carry on the iDevice, yes.
I think the biggest challenge with this is a lot of it's going to be user generated.
Yeah, I thought the biggest problem seems to be the small amount of content, like 1,500 pieces, up the ante.
Like, wow, that sounds like a lot.
No, that is nothing over the course of a year. I was hoping they'd say a day. Like, quite seriously though, like, come on, like, they're world travelers, 18, AWOL on a mobile app, and you're saying 1,500? go to sleep. Like, that is not enough. It is just not enough.
I'm not going
to
work with
how many places in the world are there to visit? How many unique, interesting opportunities are there? 1,500
wow.
in a year is not
it's
a
like,
lot. And
it's
so,
nothing.
Yeah,
it's like, it makes me worry about their content strategy. And if you'd like one, get
in. You'd have to be more. At PhD Australia. And I guess for me, I think, I mean, what I thought would have been really interesting would have been if they'd taken some of the thinking around the latter of these, the Soundlines partnership, which is all about content, being mobile first, being individualistic. I'd have loved to have seen some of that played out in the first strategy. And the fact that you got this broadcast solution around five journeys home, there could have been really interesting things around mapping journeys around the world, Australians around the world, coming home, tracking hundreds of journeys, home from hundreds of Australians around the world, and apply some of this more future focused thinking, I think, to the first model.
I always think of Qantas, just funnily enough, when you think of AWOL and they're saying 18 plus. If I think of Qantas when I used it the most, or when I connected with that airline the most, it would actually be sort of 18 to 21, because it was around the time I was doing my, you know, a lot of Australians are leaving to do their 3 years away somewhere, their visa somewhere, they're travelling back.
It's like national service, basically,
time.
Isn't it?
Kind of.
Yeah.
So there would be a lot they could have done to connect that emotionally in that.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think I'd have flipped it the other way, and rather than going, what can we do mobile and travel up to the ad, flip the emotion of the ad and bring that back through to mobile. Because I think what works in the ad is that emotion. It's like, I'm coming home, it's the music. We all know we listen to music through the mobile. We have the pictures of our people at home. I just think if you can drag that emotion back through to something that sits in everyone's pocket, then that's really powerful, as opposed to using it as a travel tool when there's a million already in existence. So I think the thought behind it is good. I just think potentially the execution is in just too much of a crowded field, and to the point about content, it's too big a job to do.
They need to offer free Wi-Fi to on the planes, if that's what they're saying.
Oh, that's the last thing I want.
No, I mean, but the kids will. Like, if you're saying you've got a content app
for high-powered business flight,
and that's it.
18 to 35.
Yeah, I'm a kid. If there's like, but I'm just saying, like, that's the sort of thing as a traveller, I think, that they haven't thought of. If they're going to do a mobile first strategy where you're actually reading things and uploading it, then it should be free, which means, is the Wi-Fi free in economy, or can they not actually get that as a service of the ticket they're buying?
It depends how fast the slaves downstairs.
Keep
pedaling! Oh, how are stewards doing? And this week on the pages of The Guardian, Spotify CEO Daniel Ek responded to Taylor Swift's decision to remove her albums from the Spotify music streaming service. He did it on a blog post which tackled what he describes as the myths of streaming music. This is the news that Taylor Swift has taken all her music and back catalogue off Spotify, essentially because she didn't want her music available for free. Where are we on this, everyone? Are we Team Swift? Or are we Team Spotify?
I'm Team Spotify.
You're Team Spotify?
Yeah. I'm Team Swift because he's so punchable. Can I say
that? No,
what?
Can't say that.
No, I'm Team Swift.
I'm going to go Spotify just in the name of innovation, because I know we're voting, but I'm going to explain now. The Kerr quote that struck me, what the first line, everything new like Spotify all feels to me a bit like a grand experiment, and I'm not willing to contribute my life's work to an experiment. If you stopped there, I was like, are you kidding?
No,
like,
when I
it's
read
not an experiment.
And when she said life work, I'm sorry. Like, I know that she's done a lot, but when she said life work, I lost.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wow. Okay. Just for the Swifties out there, the views of KZ do not represent the views of PhD's organisation.
Yeah.
And for the Swifties out there, we have the utmost respect for Taylor and her life's work.
But I think her point that I think got lost, because I was like, are you kidding me? The part where she says, I don't feel it fairly compensates the writers, that's the part where I said, okay, if your feeling is that it doesn't actually compensate fairly, then that's the stance. It's not that Spotify is an experiment, because I don't believe that music streaming and free streaming services are an experiment at this point in their life cycle.
She was meaning in relation to her, into the compensation was the experiment, though, I think, not the technology. I think okay, she said it in a weird way.
It's more than you imagine.
Yeah, I think she meant the way that they ruminate.
What's interesting is something implied by Daniel Ek, who's one of the founders of Spotify, the chief executive. There's an interesting implication, which is where he says that if that money, and he's talking about the $2 billion of ad money and subscription money that Spotify have given back to the music industry, if that money is not flowing to the creative community in a timely and transparent way, that's a big problem. Mm. And so perhaps this might not be a Taylor Spotify thing. Perhaps there is something still going on with the music labels who are in the middle of this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I read an article last week, actually, in Wired magazine, because I'm young and funky, what I found on the internet, about Allo Black, who recorded the Wake Me Up song with Avicii. Did anyone else see that?
Yeah,
so that was the most streamed song in 2013. 168 million streams in the US. They got paid $12,000 for that.
Wow.
So he made $4,000 himself out of a song that was streamed 168 million times. I mean, my perspective on Taylor Swift and the joke about her life's work, I mean, like, she was on the songwriting staff of Sony Music age 12, so she's been in her business as long as I've been in this business, so I think that's fundamentally not a problem to me that she says her life's work, but Hungarians are notoriously angry, so that's possibly why KZ didn't like it. But, like, at the end of the day, she doesn't want to put her music on Spotify. I don't care why or what her perspective is, she doesn't have to put it there. I think the music paradigm has shifted now, and these guys are distributors, and if she can find another way to distribute her music, then more power to her, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I think it's a smart move from her. And there's some ridiculous stat that she's like now she's sold the most albums since, 20 years ago.
She doesn't really need to worry.
I mean, the current song, I could pretend I don't know the name of it, Shake It Off, 257 million views on YouTube. Now, I played that to my daughters last week, and in that week, there's been 48 million views. So, she doesn't need these guys as much as they need her.
No, and it's kind of cool in that respect that she can kind of be that woman for young people. Like, yeah. Because you know what I mean? Like in that respect, though, that there is things going on at some point, whether it's Spotify's fault or not, but within the music industry where the royalties are not being passed down, and it's an industry, as Bono said, and I can't stand Bono, but still, it is true that it's an industry full of deceit, and that often the artists are the ones that suffer. So at least she's bringing light to the fact that they do have a right to have the distribution deals respecting them, and it's something that they should have more clarity on.
And the article itself, just to round this one off, the article itself seems to pivot on the fact that it wasn't being on Spotify that Taylor Swift was objecting to.
No.
It was being available for free. And she wanted to be just available to paid subscribers.
Yeah.
But Spotify didn't want to do that because they drive paid subscription. About the quote.
So
and the quote from X is, here's the thing I want artists to understand. Our interests are totally aligned with yours. We don't use music to drive sales of hardware or software. We use music to get people to pay for music. And surely from a consumer point of view, that's the freemium model in action.
But
we use content to get us to pay for content, right?
That's not true. That would only be true if they didn't take advertising on the site as well. But the fact is they do. So the reason they can sell advertising is because they have free music streaming.
And they've got volume.
Exactly. And they would have less volume if it was all paid for. So I disagree with Daniel X / EK.
So what's the role for brands in it? I mean, we use Spotify. Spotify is a platform for brands and advertising.
Yeah.
Should brands tread more carefully in this space? Or is this... What's the role for brands in this?
I think it pretty much depends on, again, like how much traction we'll actually get and whether there's going to be any other artists who will start doing the same and pulling back, because then obviously it will affect their reach in general. So then I think it's going to be a watch out for brands. I wouldn't stay away from Spotify just because of this conversation.
I think at the end of the day, Spotify at the moment is a volume play for advertisers.
Mm.
So ultimately, whatever happens will depend on whether that volume stays there. I think from a consumer's perspective and how it is consumed, it's really only the audio ads that I see a real benefit in, because I'm not looking at the screen or listening to music. So as long as the volume's there, the advertisers will be there. Beyond that, I don't think it's an issue for a brand.
And I guess, like anything, let's finish with the words of Bono, who said, the real enemy is the fight between opacity and transparency.
Bono. We could finish with a joke about Bono.
But we could do that, go on.
What's the difference between Bono and God?
I don't know, what's the difference between Bono and God?
God doesn't walk around Dublin thinking he's Bono.
On which note, that's it for the PhD cast. A big thank you to everyone for taking part. We'll be back next week. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and all other available platforms. Thank you very much for listening. That was the PhD cast. I'll do a musical sting at that point, because that was a very good break.
Musical sting, this is surreal.
And we'll go again.
I sprayed water all over my crotch.
I just thought you were excited to be here.
Yeah. You should be so lucky.
It's my life.
That
would
be your Christmas karaoke song.
Okay, so we'll go again. At 3, 2, 1.